Joining us on the line now to do that is Michael Scotto, covering the NBA for SheridanHoops.com and the Associated Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto, S-C-O-T-T-O. And Michael, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Trying to stay warm. It is cold, like I mentioned here in TO, but luckily I'm indoors doing this radio show. We'll get to Markieff Morris in a minute, but obviously the big news today, Dwight Howard and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets losing to Portland last night, saw them fall out of the top eight in the Western Conference. Dwight saying that the team needs to be a little bit less negative, but is he even going to be around by the end of the trade deadline to see what happens in Houston? We see the reports today about the Rockets calling some other teams to start some possible trade talks. What do you think about that whole situation right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing starts off with is I believe Houston is concerned that Dwight's going to want a max contract heading into the summer, and you know, if he opts out of his player option, and I don't think that the Rockets are willing to do that at this point. So with that in mind, it's in their best interest to seek a couple of trade offers if there's anything on the table right now with the trade deadline coming up on the 18th. It certainly doesn't hurt, but obviously now that it's out, that's going to decrease some of the values. You know, over the summer, Dwight was disappointed with some of the way his injury was handled a little bit. And I think heading into the season with the Rockets, both he and James Harden had much greater expectations than what has transpired for this team right now. And because of that, obviously there's been a lot of friction, you know, with this team on the court. The addition of Ty Lawson has not been what they thought it would be as well. And this team has taken a step back dramatically considering last year where they were. So with this, with the trade deadline coming up, I think for Dwight, the feeling is maybe this wasn't, you know, what he thought it could be. I know he's saying that he wants to stay there, and he did choose the team. You know, the other night he played, he's been playing well of late. It's not like he's given up on the team. But if he, in Houston's best interest, if they're going to lose the guy potentially this summer and he declines his player option, then they have to, they owe it to themselves to test the market and see what's going on. Will he or won't he be in Houston after the trade deadline? I think that's tough to say because at the end of the day, if the offers are so low and, you know, you're getting lowballed in a sense, especially this early, you know, usually the better trade offers will come closer to the deadline. You know, at this point, if they get lowballed, it may make more sense to hold on to them and try to do a sign and trade down the road. There's no reason to sell short when you have a guy like Dwight Howard who, despite getting up in age at 30, 31 and he's had some injury trouble, he is still one of the top centers in basketball. You can't deny that.
For sure. I'm curious to get your thoughts on how Dwight is viewed around the league right now, because there was a time, I mean, when he was in Orlando dunking all over people and in the slam dunk competition doing the Superman stuff, he was one of the most popular players in the league. But after a failed stint in L.A. and things obviously getting a little bit sour here in Houston, it really seems like he has taken a drop in popularity. Is that kind of the same sense that you get?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fair and more than accurate statement to make. The thing with Dwight is right now when you look at teams is the talent is not what it was during his peak in Houston, in Orlando even, when he carried a team to the finals. He's not that same player. You know, he's had back trouble, but he is still a very effective player. But with that in mind, and you are not considered an elite superstar to that extent where you can carry a team on your back to a championship. Mm-hmm. And you look at some of the baggage that comes with him in terms of sometimes his personality and how he'll fluctuate at times. He can be very indecisive. That can wear on an organization over time. And, you know, I don't think anybody that's looking to make a trade for Dwight is going to want to have the same situation that happened with Los Angeles and the Lakers. People have learned from that, and they're going to want a commitment before anybody makes a trade. So in terms of Dwight's value, it has taken a hit. But with the rising cap going into next season, you know, he could still command around $20 million, give or take a few million off that. Just because of the cap rising, teams have to spend money to reach the to get close to that plateau of the $90 million. So someone is going to get that money, and someone will come with a high offer for Dwight Howard because he still has talent.
Michael Scotto of SheridanHoops.com and the AP joining us here on Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Rob Wong. Let's shift gears to Markieff Morris for a second. And we got to see him get into it with Archie Goodwin, his teammate, the other day during the game. And, you know, Earl Watson saying after the game that those two guys are actually pretty good friends. And, you know, it seems like that issue has kind of been squashed right now. Who knows if that's true or not, but it really has just been a rough season. I guess that's the best way to describe it for Markieff Morris, obviously, with his brother getting dealt in the offseason and just all the turmoil going on with Jeff Hornacek, all the injuries. It's just really been a bad situation in Phoenix this year. He's another guy that's been thrown out there in the trade circles. You know, how do you think people view him right now? It seems like his stock might have dropped quite a bit as well.
Well, in talking with other executives around the league, the thing that everybody comes back to is he has a very reasonable contract. He makes $8 million annually a season. Going into the new cap, as I mentioned earlier, going up towards a projected $90 million range, with that in mind, that $8 million per season does not look like that much of a hit at all. But the problem is, Markieff is a talented guy. He's a talented guy when he has his head on straight, and he hasn't had his head on straight all season. Obviously, things have broken horribly for the Suns when you look at injuries to Brandon Knight. You look at Eric Bledsoe being out. You know, the core of their team and what made them work with those guards is gone. And at this point, they're trying to salvage any type of trade value for Markieff. And at this point, no one is going to come in and blow them away with an offer. So that's why they've held on to Markieff this whole time. It's no secret around the league that he has been frustrated and he wants out ideally, but at the end of the day, Phoenix isn't getting anything that's really worth trading him at this point, because you could still move him at the draft lottery, at the draft coming up, and you have free agency as well over the summer where you can make moves on a large scale. You can include him maybe with a guy like a Bledsoe if you want to move him. Even though he doesn't have value, a guy like Bledsoe would. So you can package the two of them together and get more in return. That's why I don't think necessarily Phoenix is going to move him now if they feel like they're being lowballed, because ultimately in the long-term benefit of the franchise, it doesn't make sense to do that.
No, it definitely doesn't. You don't want to sell when guys are low, for sure. He obviously has been linked to a lot of teams, the Toronto Raptors included, and that really seems to be a lot of the talk here in this city anyways. What do the Raptors do? Sitting second in the Eastern Conference right now, it does seem like, you know, this might be one of the years where maybe not go for it is the right word, because there are still a lot of talented teams in front of them, whether it's Golden State, Cleveland, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. But, you know, when you look at the Raptors as an outsider, Michael, what do you think is the one area that they need to improve in the most?
Well, I think for Toronto, obviously, anytime you can add to your bench scoring, you'd look to do that. But I think especially at the power forward position, and, you know, with Valanciunas dealing with injuries sometimes, having a big guy that's a proven big guy would be a help to the team. The biggest thing with Toronto is they have to get past that first-round plateau. They have an all-star backcourt in Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. They were expecting bigger things from Damari Carroll when he signed there, and despite the loss of Carroll, they've still gotten to the second spot in the East, which has been improved, and it's kind of been, I think, a little bit filled with more parity than people expected coming into the Eastern Conference this year. But In terms of Toronto, make no mistake, they have to get past the first round, and if they can get to the second round and into the Eastern Conference Finals, ideally, I think for them that would be a successful season, especially for the development of their young guys, and they have some big decisions to make. DeMar DeRozan is going to opt out of his, I believe, $10 or $11 million player option.
Yeah.
He could get as much as 20 to 25 as a max on the open market, and are you going to want to pay a guy that much money when your team hasn't gotten out of the first round? Or do you look to make a change and figure out if maybe you can get value for him down the road? That's one thing that they're going to have to look at. And I think the playoffs are going to be a big test of that. Masai Ujiri is a guy who's never been shy to pull the trigger on a trade before. Obviously, we've seen in Denver when he got rid of Carmelo Anthony. He got as many assets back as possible. So, you know, this season is going to be a turning point for the Toronto Raptors and for their fans to see which direction this team is going to go looking ahead.
Yeah, it really does seem like that's going to be the case. Michael Scotto of SheridanHoops.com and the Associated Press joining us here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong. This is Sportsnet Tonight. Let's shift focus back to the Golden State Warriors for a second. And it's just really been an incredible season, Michael. I was about, 10 or so when the Chicago Bulls had that ridiculous 72-10 season. I'm not trying to age you here or anything, but, compared to the season that the Golden State Warriors were having, where I'm fully aware of it, I'm not a kid anymore and I'm an adult, I have to watch basketball games and sports, for the job that I have. Personally, not being a Golden State Warriors fan, being here in Toronto, it's got to be one of the most enjoyable basketball seasons and pleasures to watch this team that I can ever remember. I mean, just watching them on a nightly basis do what they do, whether it's Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, it really is incredible. What have you thought about this season and how much have you enjoyed it?
I really enjoyed watching Steph and Curry improve every year. I mean, this was a guy that he could always be a great shooter, but what's taking him to the next level is his ability to handle the ball. He dribbles the ball like a guy in an N1 mixtape, and it's incredible. He's got the ball on a yo-yo, and that really has made up for his lack of athleticism, And in this league, you need to be a guy that primarily, if you're going to be a superstar, you kind of need to be athletic, but he's broken that mold. The other thing is to have a Swiss Army knife in Draymond Green, who, coming into his professional career, many wondered if he would succeed because he was viewed as kind of a tweener. He didn't have necessarily a defined spot on the floor, whether it was small forward or power forward. But this is a guy that can do everything, can shoot, rebound, and pass. And I don't think enough people talk about him as the X factor for that team. He makes everything work on both sides of the ball. Klay Thompson has evolved into one of the best shooting guards, in the game of basketball overall. He's a better defender than people give him credit for on the ball, one-on-one defense. And they have guys that they know their role. Same thing with having a Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala. There could have been tension there with who's starting, who's not. Harrison being in a contract year, Andre last year, a guy that never came off the bench, came off the bench and won the finals MVP. I mean, if that doesn't say that a team has selfless guys that are willing to sacrifice and want to go for a title, I don't know what does. The way they built this team, and that they're so young that they can, go through a regular season and steamroll it the way they have. It's remarkable. We've never seen anything like it. And even when the Bulls were at their peak, they weren't as young as this team. And I don't think a lot of people look at that. So, this isn't a one-trick pony or, a one-year wonder, if you will, dating back to last year. This team is for real, and if they keep the core together, and this could really be a dynasty we're talking about for generations to come.
Yeah, it very well could be. I mean, like you mentioned, the selflessness of that this team has and the kind of players they have, I think that gets overlooked for sure. And I think a lot of the other things that get overlooked is just the amount of talent they have. I mean, you mentioned Andre Iguodala. I mean, Sean Livingston, Andrew Bogut, these are guys that are former lottery picks. These are very, very talented players, obviously, in the latter stages of their career, but it just complements the young guys so well. Thank you so much for doing this, Michael. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the couple days off here at the All-Star break and enjoy the rest of the season.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's Michael Scotto of SheridanHoops.com and the Associated Press.